over Baghdad, dancers of death, murder in the air with the next breath. Macho queens selling war makers' toys, raining destruction, good old boys. Deathbringer in Queen George's eyes, read his lips, war maker lies. Religious rites, revenging sword, thou shalt kill in the name of the Lord. The sheep and the cattle can't keep from milling. Some are more than ready, right. Some aren't willing. Volunteering in what they're not dying for.
Well, we'd like to thank you for taking your precious time to be with us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You're tuned to Tropic Wave Radio. And the program is Highway to Health. We'd like to remind you at this time that the views expressed on the broadcast are not endorsed by Tropic Wave Radio, its staff, or management, but represents the views and opinions of the hosts, the guests, or the callers. And if you'd care to join in and ask a question or give us a comment, don't forget you can do that toll-free, U.S. Canada-wide, 888-762-8153. Extension 897. That's 888-762-8153, extension 897. You get that by going to tropicwaveradio.net. Locally or out of country, 321-253-9335.
New world order is an old world lie. Fighting for peace, see how they die. Dragging in God as they turn violent. God says nothing, he just remains silent. Stop madmen from running loose.
All right, and with that, we'd like to bring up the host of What's Ailing America. And here she is, Dr. Rebecca Carley.
Good evening, Peter.
And good evening to you, Dr. Carley.
Okay, we're supposed to have a special guest call in tonight, so please let me know when she does call in.
That special guest is here. Would you like her on the air?
Well, let me just introduce her first.
All right.
Our special guest tonight, and I thank her very much for calling in on the show, is Maria Heller. Maria Heller also has a very important internet radio show, The Maria Heller Show, and I would like her to start out by talking a little bit about her show, which both Peter and I have appeared on, and also she's going to talk a little bit about her experience being on the protocol that I've developed, which I call the Hippocrates Protocol, which reverses all diseases as well as cancer. So welcome to the show, Maria.
My pleasure to be here. Thanks
for
having me.
Please tell us about your show a little bit and tell the listeners how they can chime in, because it's very important for people to get as much truth as they can possibly find in this day and age, and your show is full of it.
Oh, well, thanks. I hope it's not full of it any other way.
Oh! Hey, wait a minute. Let me say hello to Maria myself. This is Peter. Thank you.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Maria. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be sitting on the opposite end tonight, and and it's not only a pleasure but a privilege, and thank you for joining us on Tropic Wave Radio and What's Ailing America. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, and I want to thank both of you for great shows that you've given my listening audience, and of course, Dr. Carley, for all the great help you've given me and so many of my listeners, and now working with some of the members of my family. I'm really, really grateful for that.
And your pooch. Don't forget your pooch.
And my pooch. She's getting ready for the protocol.
So please tell us about your show, Maria. How can listeners access it, and what's
it about? Absolutely. They can go over to maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net, and check it out. I am probably one of the longest lasting shows on the internet. I've been there for 7 years. I've interviewed what I consider the best people on the planet, everybody from Gore Vidal to Howard Zinn to yourselves, of course. And it's really a truth-telling show for people that never will ever be seen or heard on TV or regular radio because they actually speak the truth. So I cover politics, the environment, natural healing, things that are life-saving to the audience. And they can go over to the show. There's always a free show playing. There's an iPod download, which is free. And then if they get addicted, then all I ask is that they help support the show with a subscription of their choice.
Okay. So do you mind telling the listeners a little bit about your personal medical situation and what you were experiencing and what you went through with my protocol?
Absolutely. Well, I guess it was right after the first time I had you on the show. You've become quite the regular. My listeners love you. I was experiencing a problem with my thyroid. I was experiencing thyroid eye disease, which meant my eye was pretty much popping out of my head, and I developed double vision in the eye. And I also have had a lifetime history of migraine headaches. And after I had you on the show, I decided to do your protocol. And going through the protocol, the eye basically went back into its socket. My vision has certainly improved, and of course, I'm extremely healthy now. I feel very healthy. And the biggest blessing I would say for myself personally is I haven't had a migraine since, and mine normally would have started in August and gone all the way through January. Excellent. So I highly recommend your protocol to anybody that's breathing. Even if you think you're healthy, you have no idea what's trapped in your body until you start to release it.
Yes. And also, I just want to ask you to tell a little bit. You did have some eye surgery, and talk about what happened with that.
Right. I had to have some eye surgery to correct a mistake that another surgeon made without properly diagnosing what was wrong with my eye. Had he done that, he wouldn't have started carving up my eye. And because he did that, I developed more problems with the eye. And then once my eye stabilized through your protocol, I found another surgeon who was willing to correct the damage. And when I went for the surgery, you and I had talked the day before, I believe, you had suggested taking Arnica, which I was already on, and also using colloidal silver as a spray right after the surgery and spraying my eyes regularly to take down the bruising really quick.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went back in, like a week later, the doctor couldn't believe how rapidly my eyes were healing. And, of course, I shared what you had suggested to me, and he was quite pleased. So
yes.
I had a very quick recovery, and I'm not 21 years old. So
yes.
I'm very, very happy with that.
And I'm so pleased with that, and I just want to, tell the listeners that I never give out medical advice. I just tell people what I would do if I was they. So that's
right.
What I do with everyone, and I'm so happy that you got this result and that you've actually referred members of your family to myself. And I don't want to give out too much information, but I have to say that one of the people that you referred to me, I was beyond horrified that they actually had problems with their swallowing. And what the White Coats had decided to do as a remedy for this was inject their esophagus with botulinum toxin. And this is, like, so amazing that now
right.
They've actually started injecting people with a toxin that's known to destroy the nerves for people that have a problem with nerves that are causing them to not be able to swallow. So I'm very much looking forward to working with that person and seeing where we can go with that situation. That's quite a challenge.
Absolutely, and I think that people need to understand that what you're talking about is Botox.
Yes.
And that was something that one of my other doctors wanted to give me for my migraines, wanted to give me shots to the head. And I just looked at him and said, are you crazy? I'm a vegetarian, number one. I said, and number two, I'm not going to let you give me something that's going to create another problem separate of the one I have.
And that's that's what people have to realize is that Botox is botulism toxin. It's a toxin. They're actually marketing a toxin and injecting it into people. And, of course, the usual excuse for doing this has been to eradicate wrinkles and things of that nature. But you and your other family member were the first to enlighten me as to the other uses off-label, obviously, that they're now coming up with migraine, headaches, and esophageal dysmotility. I mean, that is beyond the pale.
Well, yeah, and they think it's pretty much hunt and peck. Let's see if we can deaden this muscle and if this will stop the headache.
Right.
But, at that point, I'm very tough on my doctors. I'm like, no, I don't think so. Even if they gave me a prescription, I'd take it home and investigate it before I would even consider it, which now at this point, I'm sure you heard today that they recall tons of acetaminophen. And, I've said to you so many times, I'll never even take an aspirin again. So when I saw that recall because it had metal shards in it, I was like, one of my listeners said, well, that's a great way to get some fiber, I suppose. Just
yes,
joking around.
It never ends. As a matter of fact, there's now information coming out that even perchlorate, which is a contaminant found due to rocket fuel and things of that nature, is also very damaging to the thyroid. So people have to realize there's so many things out there. Vaccinations, heavy metals, fluoride, now this rocket fuel extract. There's so many toxins out there that people have to watch out for. And that's why when I do protocols on people, I take very detailed histories and find out what they've been exposed to and then teach them what I would do if I was they, using homeopathy to detox these various poisons and other supplements that can also reverse the damage. And I just want to also mention, it's very interesting, I was just sent two other articles today. Pfizer developed a new heart medication. It's called Tricetrabib, and it's a new heart medication that they developed hoping that it would make up for all the loss that they had suffered due to Lipitor, which, of course, has been found to cause all kinds of side effects, including muscle breakdown, renal failure, and things of that nature. And this new heart medication that Pfizer has developed has actually now been found to cause an increase in blood pressure. So it's funny how that works out, and that was reported on November 1st in the New York Times. Mm-hmm. And we also have Glaxo settling a Paxil class action suit for $63.8 million, and this was reported in the Associated Press on November 2nd. They've agreed to pay $63.8 million to settle a class action lawsuit accusing GlaxoSmithKline of promoting its antidepressant Paxil for use by children and adolescents while withholding negative information about the drug's safety and effectiveness. Now, what's really disgusting is that what they're going to do in terms of the payout is they're going to pay the plaintiff's lawyers $16.6 million, and then whatever money is left, they're going to pay to the other people that are involved in the class action lawsuit, i.e. the damaged people. But they're not paying them for the damage caused by the drug. They're just paying them for the fact that they didn't inform them that there's negative information about the drug's safety. So this is the kind of stuff that's going on, and that's why I always suggest to people, you know, you got to check your drugs out, as I know you and all your listeners do, as to what they're actually causing to happen in your body.
Absolutely. And one of my really close friends saw her doctor for high blood pressure, and they gave her Lipitor. And the next weekend, she was in the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
Then she went back. They gave her some other drug, and then she passed out. So she went to the doctor and actually asked him, "Are you trying to kill me?" And, you know, I referred her to your website, so you may be hearing from her, too.
And let me guess, then they put her on a psych drug because she had some delusion of paranoia or something like that?
Who knows? I don't think so. But, you know, now they're telling her she's got one dead kidney and, you know, all this stuff. And it's most probably all the medication that they've been experimenting with her.
Yes, and I want to point out that's a very important thing for people to understand. The Lipitor and that whole class of drugs, the main side effect that it has is that it can actually cause something called rhabdomyolysis, which is where your muscles actually break down. And when the muscle cells break down, the kidney has to filter all those proteins, and it can actually cause renal failure. So I'm sure that that is the cause of the renal failure. But, of course, the white coats never want to admit to that, even though this information is published in the physician's death reference. It's really important for people to check these things out for themselves.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you were talking about the rocket fuel perchlorate, I have a hard time pronouncing it. I had Ronnie Cummins of Organic Consumers on my show today, and we spent a long time talking about that. And I think that people need to be aware that with the blessing of the EPA, they have our missile-producing factories, the military, has actual permission to dump that in our waters. So 22 of our lakes and streams are loaded with perchlorate, and the people in those areas have it in their bloodstream.
Yeah.
And, you know, I asked him, perhaps this is why we have an epidemic of thyroid disease in this country.
Well, it's one of the reasons. As I always explain to people, you have to look at the big picture. I mean, basically, we have a number of assaults on our immune system, and this is shown on the first diagram on my website. We have a number of assaults on our immune system. And once your immune system reaches critical mass and that straw that breaks the camel's back is added to the mix, that's when you develop symptoms because your body's trying to tell you, we got a problem here, you're doing the wrong thing. And that's when most of the people go to the white coats and get their prescription drugs, which, of course, give them more side effects and just add them into this never-ending mix of toxins, which puts them on this road to death and disease. And that's why people have to understand that detoxification is the key. But there's also been quite a controversy that's developed with one of the listeners to your radio show that you referred me to, and I'm not going to mention any names. And I'm hoping that the daughter of this client will call in because she had some questions she wanted to ask me, and I wanted to discuss these on the air. I don't know if she's going to do so, and if she doesn't, I'm going to discuss them based on her email without her calling in. But before I do that, I would appreciate it. You had just sent me an email before the show about your banker. We can get to that after the break. What happened to your banker?
Okay, great.
Thank you.
All right, you're listening to Dr. Rebecca Corley with her special guest, Maria Heller. Don't forget, Maria's website is Maria, M-E-R-I-A.net. We've got a link up on Highway to Health and Tropic Wave Radio. We'll be right back. All right, we're back, and here she is, Dr. Rebecca Corley.
Thank you, Peter. And Maria, it was very interesting, the email that you'd sent me just in the timeline of what's going on with this client that you referred to me and the reaction she's having from her family. Could you tell the listeners about your banker and their experience with the traditional white coat therapies?
Oh, absolutely. I would say maybe 8 months ago, I noticed that my banker didn't look good. And I had asked her what was going on, and she told me that she had cancer and she was going for chemo and different treatments. And I had, of course, talked to her about you and your work and told her there were other alternatives. But, of course, she believed in her doctors.
Yeah.
And she was okay for a couple of months. She thought she beat it, and then it came back with a vengeance. And as far as I knew, she was taking time off from work in order to go back again for the same treatments that didn't work the first time. And I went in to make a deposit today, and I asked after her, and they said, oh, didn't you know she died on Halloween?
Yes.
And, you know, I left the bank saying to myself, she always said, oh, I'm going to call you later and find out more. I'm going to call you later and find out more. And when I left the bank, I said, you should have called me.
Yes.
You know, and I would say she was probably around 50 years old.
And
to me, she didn't have to die.
She didn't have to die. And it's so sad when people just believe the white coats. And that's why I always tell people, I was a white coat. I was a surgeon. I was one of the people cutting off people's breasts and taking out parts of their colon and their gallbladders and doing all these things. And that's when I saw the effects that were being done, especially in cancer patients. And what happened to them when they went on chemo and radiation therapy. And, of course, before I went to medical school, I was an X-ray technologist, and we learned about the dangerous effects of ionizing radiation. This is something that people have to understand, is that radiation is cumulative. Every X-ray you get stores up in your body, and X-rays actually mutate your DNA. There's homeopathic remedies that can detox it. That's the good news. But it was actually not funny. A few months ago, I received a survey from the American Society of Radiologic Technologists. Every few years, they do one. They actually send out questionnaires to find out how many X-ray technicians have been diagnosed with cancer. So they're very well aware of the risks of the radiation. And it's not just to the radiation technologists. It's to the people getting the radiation as well. For example, mammograms cause breast cancer. And that's
Absolutely.
What people don't understand is that, you know, the more mammograms you get, you're actually going to come down with breast cancer. And isn't it funny how that works out? They're now suggesting to women that they get mammograms every year. And it's not even just the radiation. It's the physical effect of compressing the breast between these two plexiglass plates, which if you do have a tumor in there, it's going to burst the capsule and spread the cancer all over.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely. And, you know, a while ago I had Dr. John McDougall on the show, mm-hmm. and he basically told the same stories. And after I had him on the show and he had told me that he had written certain articles about the dangers of mammography and, you know, mutilation of a woman to try to cure breast cancer,
yeah.
In the Lancet Journal, I went to see my doctor who was insistent on me having a mammogram. And I told him everything, probably word for word, that we talked about in an hour-long show. And then I faxed him the copies of what he had written in the Lancet Journal. And I said, when you can show me that there's anything good in a mammogram, that's when you can ask me again if I'll have another mammogram.
And has he responded?
No. No. Yeah. I didn't think he would respond. But, you know, I'm always happy to send my doctors the best material I can find out there. And, you know, last night I had dinner with my chiropractor. And when we came back to the house after dinner, I showed her your protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And she was extremely, you know, interested in it because she does a lot of natural healing, Reiki, and kinesiology along with her chiropractic.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a lot of really good questions. And I think that we need to continue to educate people that homeopathic remedies always worked in my grandmother's time. And, you know, before Big Pharma came along with their big ticket medicine, we were all pretty darn healthy and healing ourselves with simple remedies that don't cost an arm and a leg.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, that's the other side of your protocol, Dr. Carley. It doesn't cost a lot of money.
Right. Of course, it's not covered by insurance, but that's because the insurance companies are in league with the big pharma cartels and the medical mafia, et cetera, et cetera. And what the listeners have to realize is that there were actually 200 homeopathic medical schools in this country that were basically put out of business by the American Medical Association. And the history of that is described very well in a book by a Canadian physician by the name of Guylaine Lang-Tote called The Medical Mafia. I don't know if you ever read that book, Maria.
No,
excellent.
I have.
And she actually lost her medical license for writing that book, and then she wrote a book about how she lost her medical license for writing the book. But she describes very well how the AMA was actually developed as a club to squash homeopathy because they realized that homeopathy was doing so much better in healing people. And as the Rockefellers and all their pharmaceutical cartels were growing in this country, they had to find a way to put homeopathy out of business so that they could go forward with their agenda. And
absolutely. And people need to recognize that the Rockefellers who were there at the beginning of the pharmaceutical company were already working, you know, in eugenics.
Exactly.
You know, which is basically killing the population, not saving them. And I guess they found a better way to kill us.
Yes, they did. And it's amazing with their pharmaceutical concoctions how many of the pharmaceutical drugs actually have petroleum-based products as the base. And so, you know, it's like not only are they involved in the pharmaceutical drugs creation, but they're actually supplying the base for the drugs that are based in petroleum because, of course, they've got all kinds of,
right.
You know, petroleum connections
situation.
As well.
Right. One of my listeners is sending me a note to thank you. I guess you recommended the movie by Dr. Lorraine Day.
Yes.
Cancer doesn't scare me anymore.
Yes.
She says that it really gave her a lot more confidence after seeing it.
Excellent. Yes, and I tell everybody about Dr. Lorraine Day. Dr. Lorraine Day is an orthopedic surgeon who actually had metastatic breast cancer, who they wanted to lop off her breast and do chemo and radiation and all those things, and she refused. And she actually healed herself through natural methods. She used primarily juicing and other dietary means to get to that end. However, I don't tell people that that's a means to an end necessarily. I totally recommend doing other things to detoxify and support the immune system as well. But what that certain video, Cancer Doesn't Scare Me Anymore, is very powerful because she goes back into the history of mammograms and chemo and all these other things and explains how these things were actually written up in medical journals as being very dangerous, you know, 20, 30 years ago. But it's mysterious how this information has disappeared. And now this is the standard protocol that the white coats are using for people with cancer.
Right. Well, you know, years ago when I was, you know, a young girl, maybe, you know, 40 years ago, in the neighborhood I grew up in New York, cancer was almost unheard of. And I remember when one person father had gotten cancer. Everyone in the neighborhood treated him like he was the leper. And yet today, you know, you look at how much cancer there is after so many years of cancer research. You know, if I hear cancer research one more, I think I might throw up. And people still don't want to make the connection. You know, and I'm trying to think, one of my guests this week quoted Bernie Siegel, and it was a great quote. And the quote was, people would rather choose surgery than change their lifestyle.
Yes.
And that's pretty sad.
Well, that's the typical response of many people that don't want to take responsibility for their situation. You know, they're eating the wrong things, you know, doing all kinds of things that are very well known to be very bad for them. But they go to the white coat. The white coat never asks them, what is your diet? You know, rarely ask them their habit unless they have lung cancer. They'll ask them about their smoking history. There's certain things that they may ask them, you know,
right,
to go along with certain diseases. But they, as a rule, they don't ask them, you know, do you drink fluoride? Are you exposed to pesticides? They never ask anything like that. They'll just give them a prescription, and they go home, and they keep on doing what they're doing, but they take their prescription. And that takes the responsibility for their health out of their, you know, leak.
Well, you say it best. They have a license to pill and kill.
Yes.
And, you know, everybody wants that instant pill because it's easier than, you know, watching what they put in their mouth or exercising or drinking clean water and, you know, doing the right thing. But, you know, it's a very sad thing. But I'll tell you, in my own experience, I had basically a slow thyroid for 13 years. I was on thyroid medication. And then I finally gave in and went vegetarian. It took 2 years. And, you know, with thyroid, they send you for blood work every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
It took 2 years, and then 2 years later, I went for blood work, and I was postmenopausal. My doctor called me and said, your thyroid is working. So I said, well, how could it be working if, you know, it's been dead for 13 years, and, you know, I'm postmenopausal, and you're telling me a major hormonal system just repaired itself?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you think it's because I've been vegetarian for 2 years and I'm not taking in any other hormones from any animals? But you know what? He wouldn't even address that, Dr. Carl. He just said I was lucky. You know, I'm probably the luckiest medical marvel walking the face of the earth.
Right. It's just a coincidence. I know. And actually, it's very funny because one of your relatives that came to visit you, who's now one of my clients, and you kind of put her through a boot camp of vegetarianism, and she was amazed at how much better she felt. And this is very important for people to realize. You know, all these things affect our health, and especially if you're going to eat meat, you have to eat organic meat because the pesticides and the hormones and all of the things, the antibiotics that they're putting into the meat, you're eating that stuff, and that's affecting you as well. People have no
clue. Absolutely, and then, you know, the energy, you know, think about the energy of an animal that's been raised in a factory farm and then gets murdered, you know, you're eating that energy too, you know, and that's another side people don't look at. And it's funny because when my relatives came to visit, I laid it out before they got here. I said, there'll be no meat eating in my house. There'll be no meat cooking on my pans. I just won't have it. And if you find you're dying to eat something, literally dying to eat meat, we'll go out to eat.
Right.
And they said, no, no, we can try what you eat. Let's see what it is, because I've been following Dr. Neil Bernard's high-fiber vegetarian diet. They were afraid they were going to be hungry. And I'll tell you what, they were surprisingly shocked at how tasty the food was and how full they were.
Right.
And better yet, you know, they were having regular BMs for the first time in a long time.
Yes.
So, you know, people have to get over all the myths about being vegetarian, how hard it is, you're not getting your protein, yada, yada, because a lot of that is pure myth.
Yes.
And, you know, I would love to say, oh, yeah, I got really anorexic after I became vegan, but I can tell you I haven't lost a pound.
Hey,
well, I also want to just underline what you said about the energy of the murdered animals. That's very important because I actually learned that, and I hope I don't gross out the listeners too much, but in many of these agri farms, you know, these big, gigantic agricultural farms that are now butchering the animals, they actually skin them in some cases before they kill them. And you just can imagine the horror and the shock and the release of hormones of rage and fear. And it's actually, there's something called adrenochrome, which is oxidized epinephrine, that is released when that happens and you're eating that stuff. And then Absolutely. You wonder why there's so much violence and rage out in the world today. I'm not saying that that's the only factor, but it's certainly a contribution.
Well, you know, my daughter and I have a typical mother-daughter relationship. And a few years after I got into being a vegetarian, she called me one day and she says, you know, Mom, you're just not fun to fight with anymore. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, I just can't get a rise out of you. And I said, get out of here. And she kept going at it. And then I had to think about it. And I said, is she right? And then I thought about it and realized that I really have become a much more peaceful person since I became a vegetarian.
Yes.
So there's a lot of side benefits, even mentally and spiritually, let alone physically. And, you know, I know a lot of people saying that's not for me, and I can tell you, I put it off for many years, but I've been vegetarian now for 6 years, and I feel great. You know, and I mean physically, mentally, and every other way. Environmentally, I feel great.
Yes.
So, you know, for me, when you talk about clients and or patients that, you know, once they find out they have cancer or a serious disease, then they want to do juicing, they want to do raw foods, they want to eat healthy. Why not do that before you get a disease?
Yes.
Yeah, to undo, let me jump in here a second before we come up to the break. To undo years, you know, 50 years of poisoning yourself, you just can't all of a sudden start juicing and turn things around. That's most people don't realize that. But I'd like to comment on, you know, we covered this on several of our other broadcasts. The medical mafia in the system has the human population. We're fooled in the Western world. We treat ourselves worse than a car. We are under an assumption that you can just go in and get a new carburetor, meaning that's why they opted out. This comment is to trail where you were discussing that they'd prefer to just go and have an operation rather than help themselves. It's because people think they can get new body parts, that the hospital is a great environment, and it's the worst place to ever be. The doctors know what they're doing, and that you can trade out your body parts. You can just get a transplant, or they can chop out parts that you don't need. You know, and they don't think that a car can't go. You know, if you took out three spark plugs on an 8-cylinder car, it just doesn't fire right. But yet they don't think about their body that way, that if you remove parts of it, that it's not going to operate the same way. And you just can't swap out body parts. Again, this is very lengthy to get into DNA and what you were talking about, drinking the blood and eating the meat with the rage. There's a lot of things that go along with that. So it is the perception. You see, they have a perceived value. They're under a delusion. And that's the problem with the population. So they'll opt for an operation. Why? It's quick. Hey, they're going to give me gas. I'm going to go out. Won't feel anything. I'll go in, chop, chop, snip, snip. I'll come back out and I'll be better. That's a lot easier for me. It's fast food health, actually, destruction. And we'll be right back with Dr. Rebecca Carley and her special guest, Maria from Maria.net, Maria Heller, and her host. We'll be right back on Tropic Wave Radio, What's Ailing America. This is What's Ailing America on Tropic Wave Radio, the broadcast Highway to Health. Here's Dr. Carley and her special guest, Maria Heller.
Peter, as long as Maria had called in with a testimonial, I wondered if you would want to share with the listeners any experiences that you've had with homeopathic detoxification.
Okay, let's see. Everybody sit back. Tell your friends and family that you won't see them for another 5 years, and it'll take me that long. Okay, let's see. My experience, wow, we're going to have to re-air some of the stuff that we went through, notwithstanding poison ivy, simplistic little things like that, ranging to anthrax. I've had some great experience with it because I was down and out. And of course, we won't get into the lengthy explanation that would involve Homeland Security and a lot of other stuff. to announce that that there's anybody sending me stuff in the mail, but I did have several experiences, and let me just say that I am still on your protocol. It seems like you know, I run two or three different things that I'm doing. So my experience is that it's good, it works, and where a lot of other types of prescription medication or other things would actually put you down worse, I've been able to walk and survive where not just, I guess, getting ill from natural causes, but where somebody would want to take you out and kill you with poisons. I've been able to beat that scenario where a deliberate attempt on my life was made more than once. And thanks to some of the protocol of Dr. Carley and some things that we've done, I'm alive, breathing through both nostrils, and outlived several of my enemies. How's that?
Well, good for you, Peter.
Oh, yeah, and really. So I'm amazed. You know, when you look, I don't know if I'm on target here, so let me know if this is the right way to say this, Rebecca. And I refer to her. I know her personally, so I call her Rebecca, but it's Dr. Carley, so okay. You know, the government or the authorities want to tell us that a vaccine is safe. Now, not again, forget about even the deliberate poisoning or anything put into a vaccine, but say, okay, we're going to protect you from anthrax. So what we're going to do is bypass your body's immune system by just shooting it into your bloodstream direct. Because, like, you know, maybe if you were to get a whiff of this downstream of Osama dropping something, this will protect you. So it'll protect you. What? They're going to give you the actual anthrax by shooting it into your bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a vaccine is. It's poisoning you. There's no such way your body can build any defense when you shoot something, you know, a poison into your bloodstream. Coming in through a natural way, the body, you know, that's the God-given way. That's the innate intelligence. And so as we grow up, if we weren't vaccinated at birth, you know, like 5, 6, and going up to 30 times, where they start breaking down a young person's immune system. But we build, and if you throw out vaccines when you're born and you start coming into the world and you're exposed to all of the natural bacteria and organisms that are out there, the things that could kill you. I mean, there, snake venom is a natural, you know, you can say, well, natural stuff. Well, snake venom is natural, but it'll kill you too. So, but you get exposed to this out there, whether it's a flu, you know, whatever it is that you're talking about, touching or ingesting in breathing. But your body will build up a strong immune system, and it builds a natural defense. As a matter of fact, getting a cold is a defense against you know, that's how the body will purge. Getting a fever is how the body will purge. And then what we try to do is take an aspirin to stop the fever. But what you're doing is prolonging getting rid of that fever. The fever is to burn it away. That's why you reach that temperature. Anyway, that's my version. Now, homeopathy, I seem to have this concept because now I'm not the expert, but in other words, we're taking in the nosodes and the things that were formulated in a special way that the body then utilizes to fight the very thing. Just I think what it is it's a 180 degree to a vaccine.
It's the energy of the bad guy as opposed to the bad guy itself being injected into you.
There you go.
Yes.
All right.
And that's what forces your body to push it out. And I just want to also mention.
Wait, say that again. Say that again. You know, that's not just casual. I'm sure Maria realizes that. For the listeners and everyone, in other words, let's do a comparison of the vaccine, of shooting poisonous materials that the vaccine is comprised of. Forget about any conspiracy that they put additional things in there, like anything, shades of Gulf War illness and all that stuff. Let's talk about regular vaccines. So they've got stuff in there that individual components that make up the vaccine in are enough to do you in. So what compare that to the homeopathy again now.
Well, it's very interesting because homeopathy and vaccinations were actually pushed big time exactly the same time in history. And what homeopathy is a very dilute preparation Or I'm talking about homeopathic nosos. Regular homeopathic, classical homeopathic remedies are a little bit different. But what I teach people about is something called nosos, which are actually preparations of the problem causer itself. You can get nosos to detox radiation, pesticides, anesthesia agents, steroids, vaccines, whatever the case may be. And what they do is they take the actual bad guy and dilute it in such a way that the preparation that's left over has no actual remnant of the bad guy in it. It's so dilute that if they took it to a lab and tested it, they would find that it's basically alcohol as a preservative with mostly water. And what this does is it gives your body the energy of the problem causer, and that gives your body the ability to push the problem causer out. And homeopathic remedies, the way I describe it, is like a surgical strike approach. It goes after the exact problem that you have. There's many ways you can detoxify yourself. There's liver detoxes, colonics. There's all kinds of very good things that you can do. But homeopathy is special in the fact that it goes after a particular problem. And as a follow-up to what you said, I just want to mention something about steroids. Steroids are now being given to people for everything. Poison ivy, you know, you have any rash, any autoimmune problem, lupus, anything you have, they're going to give you steroids to suppress your immune system in order to allegedly cure the problem. But what steroids are actually doing is suppressing your immune system. And homeopathy uses the immune system to push things out. So once you add steroids onto the mix, you have to detox the steroids as well. So it's really, truly amazing all the different levels of attacks that they've developed. And I'm not saying that they did this on purpose. It may be just out of ignorance, or maybe some of it was on purpose. Who knows? But certainly what they've done is develop all of these different things to cause people to have problems with their bodies and to have their bodies degenerate into all these chronic diseases. And it's just really disgusting. And we don't have that much time left. And it looks like our caller, Katie, is not going to call in. And I was really hoping she would, because she had some questions to ask me about her mom refusing chemotherapy. And I'm not going to give any personal information out, but one of the clients that Maria had referred to me has breast cancer, and I was truly amazed that they actually, in this case, and I've never heard of this before, they wanted to give her chemotherapy before even doing the mastectomy. Now, that is totally insane, because if you give chemotherapy first, it shuts down the immune system, and then you're going to take somebody to the operating room and cut off their breast and whatever else you're going to do, rip out their lymph nodes, and then you're going to expect them to recover in the land of the superbugs after they've had the anesthesia assault and everything else. But I just wanted to quickly give this individual some information, because I told her that I would.
And hold on a minute. Just so you know, I think she did call in when I was sitting in the jock position earlier. We've got, by the way, we got Monica, who's in the studio, and we won't take much time on that. So she's running the board, and that person, when we tried to screen the call, hung up. So they may have gotten cold feet, and but I guarantee you, she's listening. So you might as well address her on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I do want to do that, because, see, unfortunately, this one particular client, and I have this happen occasionally, but never to the extent that it's happening with this client, whose entire family is trying to pressure her to undergoing chemotherapy, telling her things like, if you love me, you'll get the chemotherapy. And if you don't get the chemotherapy, it's going to kill me. I mean, things of that nature. It's unbelievable. So I just want these people to hear a little bit about chemotherapy. Chemotherapy was actually started, the whole concept was started after World War I, and further studied after World War II. They had some mustard gas left over. And during a military operation in World War II, a group of people were accidentally exposed to mustard gas and were later found to have very low white blood cell counts. And that's when they figured out, these scientific minds reasoned, that an agent that damaged the rapidly growing white blood cells might have a similar effect on cancer. So in the 1940s, they actually started giving mustard gas to people with advanced lymphomas and things of that nature. and they found that they did have a decrease in the size of their tumors. However, that's just a temporary thing. And I would suggest to this individual that she get a book called The Definitive Guide to Cancer. And this is a book, one of a series by Dr. Burton Goldberg, who has many books on alternative medicine. And he doesn't cover everything. He only has some of the therapies to reverse cancer in this very important book. But the chapter on chemotherapy is very important, and it's entitled Why Chemotherapy Kills More Patients Than It Cures. And basically they talk about the fact that researchers at Stanford University gained an insight into chemotherapy being such a dismal failure because besides burdening the body's detoxification systems and suppressing the immune system, the chemotherapy itself can actually cause a mutation in the gene that is supposed to protect the body against cancer. And that is the reason that the chemotherapy patients, they talk about five-year cure rates because they know that after 5 years, this gene that is suppressed is actually going to cause whatever cancer cells are left in the body because there's always more cancer cells being produced. This is a normal state of affairs in the toxic world in which we live. And by the chemotherapy residue being in there, it's going to suppress this gene that actually protects you from getting cancer. It's one of the many protections of the body, including the immune system, which is wiped out by chemo, et cetera, et cetera. And what's going to happen is that tumor cells are going to develop, which are much more virulent, i.e. much more faster growing and much more aggressive. And this has been found in many different studies that have been done. Of course, the pharmaceutical cartels do not advertise this because it's going to put them out of business.
Yeah, Dr. Carly, let me just say shades of doxycycline and tetracycline and the supposed cure for Gulf War Syndrome, and this is what it is. We're talking about mutation and the frauds that are out there promoting this, we won't get into naming them on this broadcast, but that's what I've been trying to explain to a lot of people, that where it would go into what's called remission. In other way, it would go away and hide, or you would drive them deeper inside your body, but they would mutate and come back. So that, and again, this is one of the reasons why you don't see massive amounts of people dropping dead all at the same time. People go, wow, if it was so bad. Well, what's happening is people just come down with a cancer later on, a year, 2, 5 years later. It shows up and they die from some other what's called mystery disease, and that's why it's never attributed to the vaccine that they were given in Operation Desert Storm or what was passed on from the service members to the civilian population. My calculation was 40% of the population are carriers, and it's a longer story that we'll have to get into another time. Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, that was excellent, and that's a very important point that you're bringing out, and that's why people have to understand, and this is not a conspiracy theory fact, this is a conspiracy fact. People have to understand there's more money being made by people that are quote-unquote treating cancer than actually even have cancer. The American Cancer Society, in its mission statement, says that if a cure for cancer is found, that they will have to disband the next day. Well, I'm here to tell you, and if you contact Peter, you can get a copy of a previous show that I did on Highway to Health in August of 2005 on cancer. But it's actually been proven that the cure for cancer and the cause of cancer, all cancers, not just lung, you know, prostate, breast, it's all the same cause, was found out in 1911 by a researcher by the name of John Beard. And I won't have time to go into this. I suggest that you get that CD from Peter, order from Tropic Wave Radio. But it's very important for you to understand that this has been known since 1911, that all cancers have the same cause. They all emanate from the same cell in the body. It's called the trophoblast cell. Once again, I don't have time to get into it. But what happens is we all have these cells nested in our body. And what happens is that you're exposed to certain toxins, which in the case of cancer are called carcinogens, or certain viruses now. We're hearing about human papillomavirus as a virus to cause cancer, yes.
sorry to cut you off, Dr. Carley. We're going to have to pick this up next week. And
okay.
I just want to say, folks, go to Maria, www.maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. The link is on Highway to Health and Tropic Wave Radio. Thank you very much, both of you. And thank you, Maria Heller.
It's been my pleasure.
It was great to have you on. Thank you, Dr.
Thank
Carley.
You both.
Okay, good night, all, and good night to Monica, too. We'll see you next week right here on What's Ailing America.